All right, so hello. This is our Practice Accelerator meeting for the month of September 2017. So I'm excited again to be with you guys and to hear what's been going on over the last month or so. So as usual, I'd like to start with a celebration of something that you did accomplish, that you decided you were going to accomplish and you did accomplish. And that could be something that is related to a particular action in your business, but can also be related to a self-care action. So go for it. Who wants to start?
Okay. Mine is sort of, hasn't quite happened yet, but I'm celebrating it anyway. I mean, first of all, Deb was at the Healthpreneur Conference this past weekend, and so we got a lot of good information from that. Yuri Elkames thingy in Scottsdale. But I actually, I don't know what the occasion was of the generosity, but through ITN, I got 2 free tickets to Dave Asprey's Bulletproof Conference next month.
Nice.
So, and that's in California, which is really super easy, convenient, because it's like a nonstop flight and much less expensive than some things. And I've never gotten to go to that before. I've heard a lot of great things from people who have attended. They get a lot of good info and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's a lot of fun. I got 2 free tickets to that too. I had to turn them down.
Oh, well. So I won't see you there. I'll see a lot of other people, but I won't be seeing you.
A lot of people. A lot of people I know will be there.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Lisa.
So for me, it's going to be a little bit about self-care because I have to take care of myself a little bit better. And we had agreed that I'd take half a day off last time, and I think I managed it. And actually, next weekend, I'm taking 3 days off.
Well, 3 did you say or 2?
3.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. It's the first time I've taken time off, and my daughter's going to be out of town, and I'm taking my dog to a friend's place, so I have no responsibilities towards anybody, and I'm going to be just, I haven't made any plans with friends. I just want to have no plans, no nothing, and just
sleep vacation, right?
Yeah.
12 hours in bed each day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I haven't laid in bed like for ages. So that's what I want to do. And then of course I'm sure I will do some things, but I don't have anything scheduled.
Nice. And congratulations.
Yippee. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that all the time, but I'm trying to at least build in half days and relax my schedule a little bit.
I understand.
Fantastic.
All right. So there's Allison. We can get Allison to share one of her successes. Hi. You okay?
Hi.
You look a little.
Yes.
Glum?
Yes.
Everything okay?
Yeah, it's fine. I've just, a bit exhausted with all the FNC stuff, and I've just had one email from somebody just saying that I was rude to email them because they never subscribed. And another email from somebody I just spoke to on the phone, they asked to reserve an appointment on the 2nd of October. So I sent them an appointment slot and they've replied to say they didn't book it. So, you know, it's just the ups and downs of business and being in a hurry. So not checking everything. I don't know. But I'm fine.
I tell you, the people that say, no, I never gave you permission, we get a lot of that. So that's the bigger you get, the more you're going to get those. And we go back and they go, look, they opted in for this and this and this and this. It specifically says there, if you give me permission, you know, we're going to send you periodic things. And they forget. So don't take that personally. It's just a sign of you're reaching more people, right?
Yeah, it was more... because I wanted to do a follow-up on Zoom, and she only wanted to do a follow-up by telephone. And so telephone follow-up, you know, you just cannot get the same feeling. She really enjoyed the face-to-face appointments that we had. And she's just said, because my autoresponders with Coach's Console include one asking for referrals, she said, I never had a meeting. I've already asked you once to stop sending me emails about menopause. I never had a meeting with you about that. And after your very expensive and ridiculous phone call, I most certainly will not be recommending you to anyone. Please delete me from your mailing. There's just a sort of negativity.
Yeah,
negative. You know, they've all got an unsubscribe button, and just people just do not.
Well, they do that all the time. They write all this crap, and it does. I take it in. That's why I don't look at those anymore. I used to see all the unsubscribes and the notes and the. And I don't, because when they do bring one to my attention, then I take it internally, and I have to just spend some time just shedding it. So spend some time and connect to your heart and to your brilliance and to your huge heart and to all the people that you have helped and all those people in the locums who are like, we want you forever because you're the only one that listens to us. And to all the people in ERC who you've helped. And all the people in your program, and just connect with those. Those are your tribe. Those are your tribe. The rest of them, send them on their way. They're probably sick because of the way they just treated you and the way they treat other people and their whole attitude towards life. That's part of why they're sick. Right? It's not you. It's not you. You're brilliant. You're loving. You're caring. It's not you. It's them. And it's like, okay, good riddance. I don't want them on my list. We actually unsubscribe them when they write nasty notes. Even if they didn't ask to be unsubscribed, I said, get that energy off my list. I don't want to just like have them be a parasite for the rest. Right? Just get rid of them. Right? And we've had some wackies, let me tell you. How could I sleep at night was what they asked me. How could I sleep at night when I'm giving such bad information to people and making people feel fearful about their health? Yeah. Just breathe it out. Yeah. It's easy to pull that in into your field and then have it impact you for the rest of the day. So don't. Yeah. So what can you celebrate? Is there someone who you connected with who you had a really nice rapport that you can just celebrate right now?
Yes, I'll tell you something really, really good that happened. Just a moment.
Yeah. I just want to say this work is not for sissies, right?
No, it really is.
You have to be strong. And people don't recognize how much more than just the clinical knowledge it takes to be able to interact with people and really help them with their health.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if I mentioned it during a coaching session. In fact, I didn't, because it was only yesterday that we had the conversation, I think. Yes, it was yesterday. So one of my clients yesterday. You remember I had a lot of negative energy around the Bowens Technique practitioner who was booking patients in for me. And she is quite strong energy, and she was quite bullying in her approach. And she was asking me, wanting me to spend an hour with patients. No, and now talking to her about patients so that she learned everything I knew for free, you know. And I was feeling really guilty for not liking this energy and in the end I stopped seeing patients there. This patient that this email was from a similar patient. So this email was from one of her patients who therefore she got her in. It wasn't me or my work that got her in. Therefore, there was never any that connection. And this patient that I spoke to yesterday is a trained nutritionist, and she's one of the people that Nicole's marketing got in, So after our call, at the end of our call yesterday, she said, "So have you stopped working with Nicole then?" And I said, I felt guilty. I sort of said, yes, well, and sort of tried to make excuses. And she said, you know, she asked me to work in her clinic as well, you know, and I said no, because when I did work with her, she was expecting me to teach, to go through all of, you know, go through these patients for an hour for free. And it was just like mirror. It was exactly what I'd experienced. And she said, I didn't like her energy. And it was just so amazing to have,
to be balanced.
I was so moved that I had my feelings, reinforced, if you like. Yeah, I felt affirmed, you know. And I felt like I realized I'd made the right decision in cutting off the relationship with Nicole, or cutting off seeing the patients there. And you know, it was just so amazing, because I felt quite bullied by Nicole, but I felt guilty about it. And Emily was saying, and her energy is just so in the wrong place. And she said, I felt that she was disrespectful of my boundaries. And this is what she's replied to my text. So I texted her after to say, thank you so much for saying that at the end, because she didn't need to say it, but she suspected that I'd been through this. And she said, I had a feeling that you might have had an experience like that. It's funny how we both felt like that around her. I guess that's why she doesn't have many friends in the village. I think you're on a different vibrational frequency to her, as am I. I'm glad we are both in tune to our energy enough to recognize what's happening and be assertive enough to withdraw from the situation to find one more on our level. I'm sure we will be better off. You will be better off now and able to flourish. Anyway, I'm glad that through her I got to see you for help. So good came of it.
Yay.
Take care.
There you go.
And she said, I know it's funny how she's read all these spiritual books, but I don't feel it from her at all. Because I said, she says she's done spiritual healing, but it's just not like that at all. And she's saying the same thing. And she said, you are probably bringing... I said, I love that you do the healing work and I come from it a place of love and acceptance. Keep it up. You are probably bringing intuition into your sessions, even if it isn't technically a healing session. If you're on a high frequency, you will be open to receiving divine guidance during all your interactions. Thanks for the emails. We'll check now.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And it meant so much to me. And it meant that I didn't get the scripts written, because I was dealing with the FNC stuff and two private clients. No, one private client, this patient, and sorting out her prescription, but also one of the ERC's initials, 90 minutes, and all the stuff around that. But it just meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And I've known, you know, for some time I've been a little bit blocked here, and I needed to cry. I needed to let all this stuff out. So thank you.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so, like, Deborah said, validation from me, Deborah, Diane, she has Deborah's name first, so I always do that. So validation means a lot, because a lot of times it's not trusting that own intuition, like thinking that there's something wrong. Why do I not like this person? Why do I feel not good around this person? But in reality, it's really, you are connected on a different level and you feel it. And you are one of these people probably who feels other people's pain. You know, you're empathetic. You are an empath. And so you're feeling it. So trust it, right? And when you get a hit with somebody that would teach you to take this, what you learned here, onto when you're working with clients, patients, is to actually take that when you're getting guidance and when you can just clear before you talk to them and really be in the intent of their best good, rather than, am I doing the right thing? Are they going to sign up for me? Like, that energy blocks that. But if you can do that, you will be guided to the right words to say, to connect with the right people, and the right words to say to repel the wrong people. Right? So I would say just trust it. Just trust it. You have a gift that very few people have. You're a medical doctor, so you have amazing training, right? You have that respect because you're a medical doctor, whether that is due to just that title or not, you have it, right? But you have this functional training and you have this ability to tap into the spiritual as well. So that combination is rare. There are a few out there, but there's not a lot, okay? And then, so what you need to be is this beacon that attracts the people that really want that service, that really are guided, like this person you spoke to yesterday. And there's more of them out there. And the more that you can be you without trying to put on anything else on top of it, the more you can be you, the more they're going to see you and they're going to come flooding to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're amazing. Yeah. You are. And your patients are really fortunate to have access to you. And when I say just be you, I don't mean to get in and start talking about animal guides to the people, right? You don't want to push them away, like if they're not there. But there's a lot of people who don't even know that there's this other aspect, but are totally open to it. So just be you. Just be the loving, giving person that you are. And you know, here's the thing. I think that's how you come across in your medical practice and in your locums more than you do in your private practice, because you don't have anything to lose over there, right? They're just sent to you. They're going to come. You don't feel like you have to impress them. You just be you. And that's what I would
encourage. I'm relaxed and not worried about getting it right.
Exactly. Right? That's a lesson, right? There's nothing to lose here. I'm just going to be who I am. You can do the same, right? And you just were telling me the other day how much they love you and rave about you in the locums. They just want you. They want always to have you. Just be you. Okay? Breathe. Connect to that. You're not alone. Anybody else want to just say a few words to Allison?
Yeah, Allison. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a minute to unmute. Sorry. Allison, I've worked with you one-on-one, Laura Fine and everything else. So I have seen your true spirit, and I know it took a lot for you to allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to share that, but it was so powerful. And I think when it comes to working with your clients, I think you have an intuition that you will be guided to know how much and to what degree you can share that with people. And it's going to be just, I think, what they need and what you need, because you're so intuitive. I mean, I felt that working with you. And it was amazing. I mean, I really felt like you saw through to the deepest, deepest part of me. And that can be really hard when you're doing that as a practitioner. But I know you know this because you do the energy stuff yourself. And so, you know to always protect yourself first so that it's not your energy that they're taking, but the energy that you channel. Mm-hmm. And I know you can do that, but I know it takes practice and it takes a belief in yourself. And I know that this set you back, because I can only feel how much it hurt. But I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that you felt like you could come here and share it, so you could kind of regather between the validation from that other coworker and the support that you can come here and be exactly who you are and know that nobody's judging you, that we're just here supporting you. I hope that helps, because you are amazing. I mean, I've worked with you. I know this. You are so amazing. And when Rita Marie says that there are so few out there like you, anybody is blessed to work with you, not just lucky, but truly, truly blessed. So just hang in there and be strong and always know you can come to us, because we're here for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Diane.
Sure.
I just wanted to echo what Diane said, and actually, I feel your pain, and it's very, very painful. And, you know, we're kind of, I don't know if we're pioneers, but we're a little bit in uncharted territory. And And being, you know, sensitive or empathic towards other people means that we feel a lot. And we're, it is painful. It is painful to have these kinds of experiences. And unfortunately it happens, you know, as we, you know, go through this on this journey. And I don't have any wiser words to add than Dr. Marie or Diane did, but just to really protect yourself. If it means don't read the emails or I told you once before about the work of Susan Chomsky, who does this New Thought, and she has the self-authority affirmation, which I use a lot to prepare me into going into difficult situations. And it's just, you know, five minutes, or I can just repeat it five times, but it really helps ground me and make me feel like I can cope. And I'll send that to you again, just that one, because I'm also, how can I say, empathic, and I also absorb all the energy, negative energy. And unfortunately, going through my life with my family and everything, there's been a lot of negative stuff. And I'm not there yet where I can keep it all out. But it helps just to be able to strengthen yourself. And you are, as an MD and a functional medicine practitioner, in uncharted territory. And it's going to be hard. It's hard for pioneers. It's never easy.
No.
And it would be much easier in a way. I know it was killing you also to stay in the NIH and NHS. Sorry. I can get all the acronyms mixed up. You know, you've made a big choice and you just got to see through all this. But unfortunately, this kind of stuff is going to happen. I don't think it's ever going
to
be easy.
It's not going to ever go away. It's just how we handle it and how we, you know, allowing it to, you know, vent and get support and then letting it roll over, right?
Yeah.
Not living with it.
Also not helped by a lack of sleep. And as you say, as you said, Diane, I know about grounding and protecting myself, but I haven't done it for ages because I've always been in too much of a hurry.
Yeah. I'll send you this affirmation, self-authority affirmation, and you can just do it when you're even in a hurry.
Just breath and appreciation. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go in the situation. Okay, I'm ready. You know, I think you could do it in a breath. Yeah. You've had enough experience with this sort of stuff to be able to shift yourself in a breath and know that you're there. And I also wanted to say that we all should be aware of this, is that trust your intuition and in reading the person, not just their facial expression, but their energy, and learn to be able to feel that even through the Zoom thing, right? You tried to smile, but I could feel that there was something there, and trust that when you feel that with somebody and bring it to the table. Hey, I'm getting a sense that this isn't landing real well for you. What's going on? It feels to me like you're troubled, right? And if you use the word feels instead of looks, because if you say it looks to me like, what do you mean I look troubled, right? No, it feels to me like you're troubled. I'm like, this is a struggle for you. Let's talk about that, right? And really trust and hone in on that. It's going to make a huge difference in that rapport. And if you can even get that kind of a close rapport right on that first visit, they're yours. They're like, I want to work with this person because she sees me. And you can't go there when you're sitting there going, I hope she likes me. I hope she signs up. What should I say? What words should I say to make her see? Right? But if you just say, I'm with you. And if we go into every conversation with the outcome that we want to inspire them to decide that their health is a top priority and they're going to have to do some things in their life to change it, whether they work with you or not, you've been successful. And if you have that as the outcome that you're looking for in every conversation, then you end up with more and more people who want to be in your circle and work with you. So shift it. I mean, Bill Barron taught me that ages ago. And I was like, oh, right? I'm not trying to get them to work with me. I'm just trying to get them to see the value of this. Right? Trying to help. And I've had people call me after those conversations where I thought I bombed and they didn't sign up for anything and just write to me a year or two later to tell me how that one conversation changed their life and all these things that had happened as a result. Right? So make that your desired outcome. I'm really glad that person talked to you, that she sensed it and she was willing to be vulnerable and share with you.
Me too.
Yeah. That'll change the course. Yeah. Yeah, the heart-centered conversation from Sharla, right? I learned it. I learned from those two are brilliant with that stuff. I had good teachers. All right. Are you ready to move on and let others share? And then we can come back to you if you have any.
Yeah, please do. Stuff.
Okay, good. Who wants to share next or get some help next?
Should I go? Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, so talking about safe space, I had to do a presentation for, I work as a freelance nutritionist with a company called HIMSA. And their ideals are pretty much aligned with mine or ours, you know.
Yep.
And then they have a general health team, which I'm part of. And it was the first time the doctors were meeting. There's doctors in Switzerland, all over Switzerland. It was the first time the doctors were meeting, and it was the first time they were meeting me. And then our head of, I mean, the program managers and the whole head of the science stuff was there. And they had asked me to talk about my nutrition philosophy and how and why we use lab markers, because I've raised some eyebrows, apparently, or doctors have raised some eyebrows when I've asked for some things or my interpretations. And you know, I've been feeling like I'm in a safe space with here at BRC or at NEPT and also at HINSA, because the other nutritionist works very similar to the way I do. She's a functional nutritionist. And the clients have loved the feedback has been very positive from the clients. And the coaches have also been happy because we've been able to move them forward. But I didn't realize that the one doctor based in Zurich was very unhappy. And so I kind of stepped into a minefield doing my presentation because I was open and honest. And I based it on not just Weatherby, but also, you know, the laboratory evaluations, that book and other things and, you know, of course, research and trying to tell them that because they think, these doctors think that they're working in prevention, and they are, but they're still working in the medical model. Mm. So I started off by showing them a mountain in the Matterhorn, and I showed them one side of it coming from Switzerland, look what it looked like, and then what it looks like from Italy. It looks like a completely different mountain. And I said, we're looking at the same mountain but from different viewpoints, you know, trying to, you know, create this. And the doctor was so angry, he started screaming at me and said I was poaching in his territory. Literally his words.
There you go.
And the case that I brought up was a thyroid case, because he had decided not to treat it, try to treat this person with medication. And so I was supporting through diet. And he said I had no business doing that. And this was a medical condition. And I said, yes, but I wasn't treating it with medicine. I was supporting through diet. And then he said diet couldn't do anything with thyroid. And anyway, he was just screaming and yelling and going on and on. And the other doctor said he felt a little bit uncomfortable with the use of the, you know, different way of looking at the lab markers. I think it was information they had never heard of before or seen before, and they felt very much out of their area of comfort zone, you know. And I just did what they told me to do, which was to discuss how we use the labs, you know, and how I use them, and how I'm, and I used a case study. And then I said to the doctor that I apologized for the appearance of poaching in his territory, because I don't feel I am poaching in his territory, because we're very much in nutrition focused on prevention. And so what came out of that was, we're doing a special project, me and this other nutritionist, evaluating the nutrition or the lab markers from a nutrition point of view, and then we'll be discussing the ranges, the reference ranges and the optimal ranges, and looking for research. And I'm finding the research that it's there. But what I found out in the process was, in HINSA, they have the Circle of Better Life, and the circle has six elements, and one of the elements is nutrition. Okay, the other one is general health, but each element has a science director. So the science director for nutrition, he's also a functional medicine practitioner, or he's a functional medicine doctor. He's the one that will approve our use of the lab marker, so that I don't have to get into a debate with this doctor, who is so old-fashioned. And it was the first time, and so I was relieved, you know, because I thought, I don't want to be dealing with this with this doctor, you know. And he said he was hearing funny things from the patients who came back at the end of the year. And I didn't want to, in front of this, like, 10, 15 people, well, there's 12 people, ask him what funny comments he was hearing. I was going to ask him privately. And then the science person who I spoke to, he said, no, probably because the patients were going back to him and saying, why didn't you mention this or why didn't you mention that? Like, if ferritin was too high or, yeah. And he wants to have a meeting with me, but now the meeting has been postponed until we finish this project. Because once the lab markers get approved, then there is no discussion. He can have whatever opinion he wants, but we'll get the green light. But it was really, really awful feeling not in a safe space. And the other hints of people felt that there is no poaching question because we're all a team and we're all supporting the clients. But it did bring to mind the scope of practice, you know, because there is some overlap between what the doctors do and what we do in nutrition. I'm not diagnosing and I'm not treating. I'm using, you know, I'm using diet and lifestyle recommendations. But there is overlap, and how we see a glucose marker when it's high normal, versus, you know, how a doctor sees it. I don't have to explain it to you guys. Right. That was what I was trying to explain, you know, that we're reacting sooner, you know, on this road, on this continuum.
The pathology.
Yeah. And so I'm doing research now for this project. We've identified the biomarker. This is a normal CBC, but not complete one, because he threw a lot of markers out. And because on the basis of cost, but then they're using abdominal MRIs, you know. It's like, tell me, you know, a lab marker that costs 10 or 15 francs versus an abdominal MRI, sorry, you know. And anyway, so it was quite a heavy experience. I was very, very, very calm, and he was trying to bait me, and I just didn't take the bait.
Good for you.
And I felt it was very tense in the room, and he really was trying to bait me, and I just stayed calm and I just didn't respond, you know, with his crazy statements and things that he was saying and accusations and all kinds of things. And I would just ask him questions, you know. It's like, why are you even mentioning thyroid and blah, blah, blah? And I said, oh, you know, I'm not. And he was even angry that I was mentioning anything from the medical report in the nutrition report. And I was told explicitly by the coaches to take anything from the medical report that had a nutrition action, because that makes it very personalized, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was my instruction, you know. Mm-hmm. And he told me I had no business doing that. And so I just said to him, so you don't want me using this information. You know, I didn't debate. I just kind of confirmed what he said.
Yeah.
And so after that, you know, everybody kind of apologized, because I said to them, if they had told me how angry he was, I could have tailored my talk differently and maybe not been as open. I had to speak about nutrition philosophy, however coming from in prevention. I did speak about the reference ranges and trying to find data there, you know, how we interpreted a tighter reference range. And then some of the markers, not all, I just took some of them, you know, and like glucose or, because they view it differently, even if they're in prevention, because they're not in prevention the way we are in prevention, you know.
Right.
It was really heavy, and I realized only afterward how traumatized I was by this, and very guarded now in interpreting lab results. But this brings about also this scope of practice. And one of my Gold Plus people, Jay, had, for example, asked Allison for her interpretation of his Dutch. And then she said in the context, so I just read that there wasn't enough time to go over that. And I was thinking to myself, well, what are the expectations, you know, from the clients? And how do we define ourselves, whether it's me at HIMSA? Now we're defining it all. So it's going to help, because we're going to standardize how all nutritionists work. And whether a nutritionist has functional training or not, we're going to be defining the lab ranges, the optimal ranges. And these are the ranges. So if they fall outside of that, then it's a flag, you know. And not a flag for medical, not, you know, but I mean, it's a, but it brings about, because, for example, in the, from the ERC people like Karen Faust, she has a whole list of tests, and I'm going through her tests that she's done through her functional doctor again with her, just to see, you know, she wants help. And then, of course, I'm spending a lot of time on this whenever I can get the time, but I kind of feel like I'm not serving her properly if I don't look into the, you know, the oxidative marker test and this and that. But it's also, you know, how far do we go? And what is the scope of practice? And like Edie right now, I'm having that issue with her thyroid thing. And I feel that's outside of my scope of practice. And I've given her the information and I've just referred her back to her doctor because she's a person who scares me. She just does whatever she's going to do. And if something happens to her, I'm scared. You know, who is liable, you know, for that? But in the end, you know, she needs to take responsibility. But yeah, it's a scary world out there. That's what you knew, what you went through, Allison. It just, it really, there's more people who think unlike us and more people than people who think like us.
Absolutely. Right. That's what we're trying to change. We're trying to educate so that there's more and more. You know, it's an interesting, you know, place to be. And I also, we need to be really clear that we're educating. Like, so if I'm doing a lab analysis call, which we have lab analysis calls, which Jay and Edie as Gold Plus, they've been told over and over that, you know, the group calls, if you have a different group coaching, it's just to get accountability. It's just to keep there. They don't have their, they're all, they have multiple calls a month with their coach. Yeah. They have calls, multiple calls a month with me. Mm-hmm. So that's where they need to be coming to. So I would say from your regard is to send them to me. Okay. If they're a gold person, if they're a silver person, you send them to me. Go to the calls, ask Dr. Rita Marie, and we're having a lab analysis session in October. If it's a gold person that you're that's in your group, you send them to their gold coach. You say that's those things you can discuss with your gold coach on those calls. But I don't, if somebody's paying for a certain level of program and then they're trying to get the next level of program without investing in that, that's not right. Right. So that's like, hey, we have our 15 minutes every month. I know, understand that I can help you and I can guide you. But if you want specific lab stuff read, you know, you're going to have to upgrade because even I can't go through 15 labs. It takes hours to go through labs. Alone. I'm getting better at them, but it's going to take me a good half hour to talk to a person about what I'm finding in there.
Yeah. Right? Oh, it's a lot. They're coming with so many tests, so many tests. They're test junkies, or not necessarily test junkies, but their doctors have ordered lots and lots and lots of tests. I do my standard ones.
Right. So that's why I do the group lab call where I explain what these markers mean. And I tell them, you take notes because I'm, you know, I'll give you a little time on your own, but I need you to be paying attention here. And I'll first one I go through a long one. I'll explain the whole blood chemistry panel and what all the markers mean. And then I go, okay, now for so-and-so. And sometimes I've done that with the person. But the last time I did it with genetics, I said, I'm doing it with me. So they don't feel like Mary over here got more time from me than I did. So I just took my own tests. So I may do that with this next one, is to take somebody generic, explain to them what it means, tell them to take notes if they have, and mark down any of the markers they have, and then I'll talk to them about it. But yeah, that's outside scope. And I think that it's not that it's outside scope. I mean, we are totally okay to educate people on whatever it is that they need to be educated on. But in terms of, well, what should I take? Should I change my thyroid medication? Should I drop down? See, that's a conversation you have to have with your doctor, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And Allison might say, well, if you were my patient, I would probably go with less medication. And we could always say that too. If it were me and I had this marker, I'd be asking my doctor to lower my medication. You know, if I had a TSH of 0.002 and, I would be asking my doctor to change my lower my medication, right? That's what I would do, but you need to discuss it with your doctor. Yeah.
But having a doctor go ballistic at me was really heavy.
That had to be tough. But it sounds like you hold your own. You were grounded. Yeah. You stayed calm. And that's all that it takes. And some of them are uneducable.
Yeah, he is. He's not. He can't be educated.
That's it. We have to let them know. And the thing is, if you, if he said right out front that you're stepping on his toes, he's feeling threatened, right? He's feeling like she's trying to be the doctor and oh my God, now she's making me look bad with these patients because I missed something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it impacted, though, the way I was supporting a client, because the same client, I've asked her to do some follow-up labs, and I had to take the thyroid because he only had the TSH and the T4, I think. And I wanted some, you know, the full thyroid panel. I had to take that out because he was so crazy, you know, he went so crazy. And until it's figured out, you know, what lab markers the nutritionist can order, and, you know, I had, and it made me, yeah, anyway, but I have to respect that because until we have it all settled.
Right. And this is, like you said, we're leading, right?
Yeah.
We're leading the edge. We're moving forward with this stuff, and it's not pretty on the leading edge, right? We start to talk to people about things that are totally outside of what they normally hear or feel. But we have to keep doing it because it's the only way we're going to change the world.
Yeah, but it's also hard, like within the context of ERC, how much time it takes to go through all of this.
So it's not what you're supposed to do. You've got two appointments with them. You've got the 90-minute and the follow-up, right? Those are the two ones where but it's not intended to be a full lab assessment, not at the silver level. At the gold level, yeah, they get that. They get them with me. They get it with the gold coach.
Mm-hmm.
At the silver level, no, you respect that time.
Yeah.
Let them know. And that's what Lynn has said, too, to people. Like, that's great that you want that, but that's not included at this level.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of telling Karen Faust if she really wants help to upgrade back to gold.
She has that choice, and then she can come to the calls with me, but I can't do I can't do 45 minutes of lab for one person on a call that she could come bring it, right?
Yeah, so I'll let you know how this goes. We should have it done. I'm lost in the research at the moment, but I have found some great research because it is evidence-based, and some of it isn't completely like the optimal ranges. There is research, and it's just how I think it's how I theoretically ground it. It will either be accepted or not, but it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And your whole point of you're talking keeping people from going into pathology. They've been trained to treat pathology, period, right, Allison? You're trained to treat pathology. You're not trained to detect things before they go to pathology. Yeah. And that's where we want to step in and say, functionally, this isn't working well. Do you want to wait 6 months, a year or two to get diabetes or to have a stroke? Or do you want us to address this now?
Well, I even found a study today about white blood cell count. When it's high normal, it is indicative of inflammation, even though there may not be a disease. And then they followed up, and then they looked at mortality, a period of time later. And it was very interesting because they were using those words, high normal. Mm-hmm. And it was, looking for the use of the normal or the CBC markers in prevention, so looking at them in a different way. So there is active research going on there, but it's just, it's a new area, and systems biology and systems medicine. But it's new. It's only been on the map maybe 10 years. So that's really new.
Yep. And I'm glad somebody else is doing that research, because I would be just bored to tears having to look at all those things and try to do statistical analysis. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad other people are doing it. But
from
a sense, we know that from a functional, nutritional sense, that we want people to be optimizing their function. And if there's a marker off, it doesn't mean that it means that there's something wrong, but it means it's an avenue to be investigating and looking at what diet lifestyle factors are they incorporating that could be causing this to be inflamed. And you get them on a clean, so simple things. You're not addressing it. You're not saying, I want you to take XYZ for this particular marker. It's more, what's in your diet lifestyle that's creating this imbalance, potential imbalance? So keep doing what you're doing. Know that we all have your back. And I think you handled that beautifully. And I think I actually think it's a good thing that it happened, because it put you in a position to be able to go, how do I respond to this? And also to everybody else to see how you responded to that. Right? And to see that you are grounded and you are scientific and you know what you're talking about.
Well, it was heavy, but But I have to be careful of this guy because I don't want him, coming after me in other ways.
Right. Yeah, so, you have to work with him and you have to work within, and you'll learn how to deal with this guy versus the ones that are open to it.
Yeah. So that was the big event. And then the exciting thing is next week having a vacation, 3 days of staycation.
So yay!
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's it. But thanks for your support.
So I want to say hi to Jane. You look like you're in bed or you have a pillow behind your head. You okay?
Yeah, it's only the first time I've probably taken a break in weeks.
Oh,
I decided to sit on my bed.
Nice. You look comfy.
Yeah.
Good. Do you want to share a quick success before we move on to Allison and Deborah for challenges?
Not a whole lot going on right now. I'm just doing some individual. Actually, no, I do have a success. I have a client success. I've got a client who's actually a good friend of mine who has pretty much uncontrollable diabetes. And she called me this morning. She's one of those ones where I forget what the term is, the night it goes higher.
Oh, yeah.
She usually is up like 170, 180 when she wakes up in the morning. And this morning she was like 125.
Nice.
So she called me right away to tell me that. And so that was kind of a success. Great. And I got my next cleanse finally on the calendar. So that'll be
I know you have people asking all the time.
Yeah, I know. People are like asking me and I'm like, my house is turned upside down right now. So, I'm still not grounded in here, but I have a date. It's the second week. It's the weekend after Shine.
After Shine. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So that's on the calendar. So, next week I'll be really, hitting the pavement to rebuild that classroom and get that going. I have no choice.
Yeah.
But I have to do it.
You're on the wire now. You have to. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Thanks.
So
let's move to Diane and hear what Diane needs support with.
Okay. I had posted something in the chat. I don't have anything really specific because a lot of what Deb and I have been working on is she got a lot of really good information at the Healthpreneur Conference because we're going to be setting up a new Facebook group, and she got a lot of one of the talks dealt with good ways, what kinds of stuff to post, how to do it, what kind of schedule and things like that. And so we're already working on that. But so personally for me, I would love it if we could talk a little bit more about what Lisa brought up about the whole scope of practice thing, because it's something that I have been having so much trouble finding the lines on, because it is my understanding, and it was certainly the case in North Carolina, that it was outside the scope of practice of any health coach, which is all I am. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor or anything like that, to order or interpret lab tests. And when I was working as an ERC coach, I knew I was protected under your umbrella and I was working with staff. So I had a certain comfort level about that, but I am still struggling. I had PM'd Lynn about it, and she had said, well, there were still some tests that you can order for your client. But I went and did a search on the legal issues in Arizona, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I really have no idea if it's outside my scope of practice as a health coach to order or interpret lab tests.
Okay. So you need to find out, number one, is it a green state, red state, yellow state, whatever?
It is a green state.
Great. Perfect.
It is.
Okay. So it's not okay for anybody to order lab tests, quite frankly, right? What you can do is you can educate the person about the lab tests that you think would be helpful, and you send them to someplace to order them themselves. That's the distinction.
Right? Okay.
You send them to direct labs and you say, you know, if I were you, and given what you've told me about your situation, the kind of things that would be helpful for you to be educated about is, what are your thyroid levels? Do you have any markers of inflammation? And when you get the result back, I will teach you what the markers mean.
Okay.
And help guide you to, you know, talking to your doctor or making whatever steps. So if you do that, and even for things like the lab tests, like the Genovas and those kind of things, you can, they can order those through Direct Labs. Genova, Doctor's Data, what's the other one they have? Saber Sciences. They have a few of them on there.
Yeah.
That, okay, they, yeah. They order a lot of the functional tests through there.
Okay, because I did find that much when I went and did a search. You know, basically what I kept coming up with was, you know, ordering labs for yourself. You know, that was pretty much about all I found. So.
You can also, if there's any test that you absolutely can't get, and we have it on our site, you can send them to our site to order it.
Right.
Right. I prefer not to be dealing third party with clients that way because it's kind of putting me in a little bit of a risky situation. But
yeah.
if we call it a training opportunity that, you know, you're having somebody order some tests so that we can use it as a training opportunity, I'd probably get away with it. But yeah, so that's the best way to do it. And we've arranged it so that you guys have accounts with these other labs. I know some people do them. I know Steph orders labs and other people. I don't know what the legalities of that. I think it, you know, unless you're in a red state, you're probably going to be okay. But you want to make sure that it's really clear that it's education.
Yeah because see, Steph, I can't use Steph as an example because she's in Canada and I have no idea what the difference is in legalities. So it's like, so working with her was very helpful because since she felt comfortable doing it, you know, because perhaps the legalities in Canada are different. I don't know. But I know that I have more leeway here than I did in North Carolina. But there are still, and I think it goes back to what you and Lisa were discussing. It's since we're all pioneers in this, the lines are not clear.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not quite OCD, but sometimes I can get a little rigid when I have confusion as to where to find those boundaries.
Right.
And, you know, you hear different things from every, you know, every source you look at.
Yeah. But I think it's the way you term, talk about it. I think might even be taking some of that disclaimer information that we put on slides and putting it in a form that somebody says, you know, and at the bottom of anything you give them that says, hey, you know, based on what you're telling me, it might not be a bad idea for you to get this test, that it's, this is not intended as replacing a medical doctor, it's just for education. And if you have that on every sheet, I'm thinking that maybe that's, we should be putting that disclaimer on every piece of paper that we ever hand out just to CYA.
And having a form that's basically a waiver. A disclaimer slash
at the beginning. Well, we do that with ERC. We have two documents that they have to sign before they get access. One is an agreement, you know, financial and what we're providing and what we're not. And the other one is medical disclaimer. And we had an attorney create that. So copy them. I paid money for them. You can copy them and edit them. Right.
Yeah.
And also talk to an attorney and have them, you know,
yeah,
but they're there as templates for you. So go for it.
Okay. I think that does help. But partly it's, there is no really cut and dried answer because the lines are so wishy-washy. And it was interesting hearing Lisa's perspective because she has more leeway as a nutritionist already than I do. So, you know, it's tricky and we're still finding our way. But no, thanks. I appreciate you clearing that up. And I know that Allison and Jane both probably have plenty to discuss. So I'm just going to, you know, listen for a while.
Okay. So I can put those, I don't, you guys might've seen them going back and forth with people. But we can put the blank templates on the site. History module probably best place to put it before you get started. People, here's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Make a note to that too.
Sure.
So it's the ERC disclaimer.
Okay.
They're considering doing this for all the other programs as well, even the short programs that before they get access to the site, that they sign this, that they agree that they're, you know, this is just coaching, education.
It's a whole world of CYA out there. So I think it is advisable for all of us, because even in the case of someone like Allison, who is a medical doctor, yes, but not when you're working with online clients, you don't have that one-on-one. So even for doctors and nutritionists to cover their butts.
Let me just tell you, I think MDs have it worse, because when they start to tread into the area of functional medicine, it's outside of what they were taught in medical school.
Yeah.
And they can be sued more likely to be sued than we are. Right. Because it's like, oh, you didn't learn that in medical school. Like, okay, where'd you get off? And these people, there's doctors who are curing people of cancer. I mean, I hate to use the word cure, but they're helping people recover from cancer. But their colleagues are getting threatened, like your doctor at your group. He's feeling threatened, like you're threatening on my thing, and you're getting better results than I am. Yeah. And so they go after them. Jonathan Wright had his clinic raided a couple of times. It's insane, right?
And Brzezinski.
I mean, look at Brzezinski, right? So, I think we are actually safer. I always would go back and go, why did I go to medical school back when I was thinking about doing that? So I was thinking about medical school or osteopathic school, and I thought, you know what? I'd be much more exposed than right now.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very
much. One of the challenges right now with the latest FDA regulations is the use of certain words that now they're claiming are medical diagnosis, like inflammation now is one of them. We can't use inflammation.
What?
Yeah.
They're considering that. Where did you see this? I need to read this.
A diagnosis, yeah. Actually, it came out of my enzyme course. They were giving us, I have to go and look at all the ones that they were telling us that we can't use. They're making up names for this. And one of the things, because, Loomis has their own, they make their own supplements, right? So they're coming down hard on the supplement companies.
Yeah.
So, and what they're seeing are the trends, or the FDA is moving from the supplement companies and actually going to practitioners and coaches and stuff like that, that are not using the right terminology. So I forget who the gal was that you had on one time about the legal.
Oh, Carmen Hunter.
And Carmen Hunter, like she would probably.
Lisa.
She would be a really good resource to know which words we shouldn't be using right now, because that shocked me.
She also has and we didn't get that scheduled. I gave that to, I gave that to Laura to try to schedule. She had recommended an attorney. Okay.
Yeah, she did. I have it in my notes somewhere, but yeah, I actually want to reach out to them, because I'd like to know the terminology to be able to use now, because that's kind of scary.
Yeah, especially for websites.
I think I can get her in to talk.
Some websites have been shut down when we have used or made health claims or haven't used the right terminology. So it would be good to know.
Oh, people have actually been jailed. Mm. Practitioners now. So. Oh.
And some have been murdered.
A lot. Oh my gosh, the number was crazy. It was something like up to 80 or something last time.
The most recent one is somebody I knew personally. I mean, I met her. She spoke with me at an event last year. We were at an event together. Wonderful person, cured herself of, all kinds of our autoimmune disease and everything else. And when I heard that, I was, oh my God, shocked, totally shocked. And they said it was suicide. Like, really? She was.
Oh, they actually. Title. Yeah, they discounted. Yeah, I forget what was her name. I think I saw that one.
Yeah. Why am I?
There's a big investigation on that. Yeah. Actually, they realized it was the scene of the crime was too clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? She did the Candida Cure book and.
Yeah.
Let me use the word cure. Like, first of all, never write about, like, Sarah Godfrey does that all the time. The Candida Horror, the cure. Don't put cure. In the name of your book, in the name of an article, never ever use the word cure. That's like huge red flag.
Yeah, and it'd be really nice to sit back and look at that and look at all those words. Maybe I'll start looking into that.
I wonder if Carmen has a resource on that, like the words.
I'm wondering too.
30 words you should never use in your literature. She has a really good Facebook group. If you join her Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
Just look up Carmen Hunter on Facebook. and join the Facebook group. It's pretty active. Some people in our community are there too. And just kind of throw some of those questions out there. She's always good. Yeah, I don't know. Tom called this book The Autoimmune Fix. That might be tricky too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a medical word. It's a mechanical word. But they could easily come back full fix. You're trying to fix somebody. You're treating them, right?
Yeah, I don't even know you can use autoimmune. I don't think you can use autoimmune either.
Well, it's not. It's a condition, and you're allowed to write a book about a condition.
It's getting pretty restrictive. Yeah. There was one other one. I'm going to have to look it up. It was something like fatigue, or like it was something that we use a lot. Yeah.
I'd be in trouble there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting
worth running that list. I'd love to see that list, and I'll run it by our attorney.
Let me see if I can get, let me call over at Loomis and see if they have a list of terms somewhere. Yeah.
And it may be more restrictive because they're selling supplements. You cannot put on right.
They definitely are more restricted because they're a supplement company, but what they have been told is the next step are practitioners. Mm-hmm. And they've already seen it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we know that they're trying to shut us down. And we know that they're threatened because they, you know, they believe that everything they learned is going to help people, and they're seeing that it's not. And there's more and more medical doctors are getting so frustrated with just keeping people alive and not actually seeing them get better. And they don't, those are the ones that jump ship. The others are just like, this is status quo. This is what happens. Nobody taught me in medical school that we're going to cure these people. We're just going to keep them palliative care for the rest of their life. And as they jump into functional medicine, they realize, oh my God, look at this person who has been doubled over with pain with reflux for the last 20 years is now feeling great. Wow. Right? So it is scary. Even dicey. Diet can be dicey. I mean, what words can we use? We have to make up our own vocabulary. Right? Like, what are we going to use for inflammation? What are we going to use for that? That would make a good webinar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a little ebook. Yeah. And it does, anyway, dilutes the medic. So anyway, thank you for bringing that point up, Diane. I think it's stuff we just all need to be considering. I think I'm going to schedule a business call on that subject.
Yeah, it's just something that's been driving me in circles for, like, you know, at least a year now, just trying to figure out, you know, what I'm legally allowed to do and say and what I'm not. And you can't find guidelines, but that's why I wanted us to at least talk about it and see if we could get, you know, some. So I appreciate everybody's input. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. And if you're good at making up words, get started. Just start making a list. We'll love it.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right. So Jane or Allison? Allison, do you have more you want to do? Let's see. 108. Yeah, we have 20 minutes. So. Or Jane, which one?
Let's hear Jane first, because I've had quite a lot of release already.
Okay, good. Thought maybe you missed a good one at the beginning, Jane.
Oh, I'll have to go back and re-listen. Yeah, Allison, thanks for, she sent me a friendly note. We're on the call. I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh, did you? I didn't think about texting you. I put it on the group.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I literally have not been present. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
I do minimum of what I need to do, and right now it's starting to, it's starting to, my body's starting to kind of, pay a toll.
Is it house that you've been doing so much work on? Is it just that the house needs a
lot? Well, it's a combination, I was living out of a suitcase for 3 months, then we move into the house, and then traveling to California so much.
Yeah,
I think I've had 2 trips to California in that time. I'm back now. The house is being painted right now. I am such a Virgo. And I think we talked about this before. I have Virgo in my moon and my sun. And, oh, my God, I cannot think straight if my house is out of order. So today is the last day.
You would never be able to live for very long in my house.
Today is the last day for painters to be in. And the house, and it's only half done. So, but it will, you know, get cleaned up so I can at least get, like, pictures in the wall and get some feng shui up and that kind of thing and get in my office and have my space back. So that's going to happen. And I have to anyway. The cleanse date, I was putting pressure on myself for the cleanse date just to get going. Mm-hmm. There's nothing real. I mean, I don't really have anything to work on right now. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do over the next year. It's pretty clear. It's very busy. I think my parents' situation, there's nothing really I can do there. I'm doing everything kind of remotely for my dad. And that's what I can do, is do things remotely on the finance side. So that's pretty good. The hardest part really has been this Laura Fine course.
Because of the time trying to travel.
It's the time travel. It's time travel. It's the homework. And there's certain things that you need to do, but I don't have the clients here right now. So, you know, I have to reestablish again.
Right.
So I'm back where I was when I first started your program, reestablishing in a new community. But the Loomis course helped because it was local. So I was able to meet a couple practitioners. In fact, one practitioner, a chiropractor, offered for me to rent a space in his office.
Oh, nice.
So there's connections that are starting to happen.
Yeah.
And, cool. and it'll happen. Things will settle down, and you know, and
hopefully the house will be there for a while. I mean, moving every 2 years is really hard.
I'm hoping I'll be here for a good 14, 15 years.
Right.
Yeah, I don't foresee moving anywhere in the near future. It's just this house was a little bit more than I bargained for. Things are beast.
Enjoying your pool at least, or maybe it's getting too cool for that now.
I am very much enjoying it. That's my one little distraction when I have to go out and maintain it, and then put, you know, if I can't jump completely and my feet are going in the salt water, so nice. It's the closest I can get to the ocean.
Nice. I'm glad for you.
But I'm trying to get it ready so that we can get other people here, you know, so we can have guests and whatnot.
All right.
But anyway,
how far are you from?
So that's not
how far.
An hour.
From New York, an hour. Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, we're really close.
Great. I'll have to come visit you when I visit my family.
Yes. No. Yes, you do.
If I ever
anybody, please come visit. it's a big house.
Good. Nice.
You'll have your own space.
I should introduce you to my friend Debbie, who lives in not too far from you then. She's in not Monroe, Butler. You know where Butler?
Oh, yeah, she's really close.
Okay, I'm going to introduce you because she's the one that got me into this space to begin with. I met her. She and I both signed up for a gymnastics class, and it said it was for adults, that adults were welcome. And we showed up and we were the adults with all these little 6 and 7 year olds. And of course we got to be good friends. We still are good friends. And she talked about wacky stuff, like going to her chiropractor, which I had never even heard of before. She started talking about nutrition and how she eats only organic this and whatever that. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. So she got me going on that whole line of nutrition stuff. And, you know, she and I just, we don't see each other that often. I got to hang out with her last year at her. She has a place in Florida. Oh, I should check in with her to see if her Florida place got destroyed. But she'd be ideal for you. She would love, if you need guinea pigs to practice your Laura Fine stuff, I bet she'd be like all over it.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. I'll send you guys a message.
Yeah. She's not far at all. She's really close to Paul's work.
Good. Cause she's always asking me who in this area do you know that I could get help with? You know, who do you know? And I'm like, oh, I don't know anybody that's in that area.
Oh, well, me. So, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great.
Fantastic. I'll make that introduction. That's exciting.
Thanks. Yeah. So I'm pretty much, there's nothing, you know, business-wise, I know what I need to do. I need to rebuild this classroom, which is kind of annoying. I just need to get in and just start studying and, you know, close the world out and, you know, learn ClickFunnels.
It shouldn't be that hard with ClickFunnels to set it up.
It's just, it's time consuming because I've got to learn each piece of it because I'm incorporating every single piece of it. So it'll just be a little, you know, I've just got to get in.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, good. Glad to see you resting for a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back full circle and finish with Allison. And I've literally got 15 minutes before my next call. So if we can get done in 12, I can go pee.
And we need to have the feedback from everybody.
The feedback, too. Right.
So thank you for our call on Monday. That was fantastic. I haven't had time to do the scripts yet, but it's just putting it together is just so easy. So my plan is to, I have got loads of warm market people who want to work with me, and I've just been holding them at arm's length because of the fear. And when I have had conversations with them, I've not listened enough to them. And it's like we were saying, I think the fundamental thing is what Rita Marie said earlier, which is that I'm at ease in the NHS space where I'm used to just putting together a management plan within 10 minutes and firing it out at them in bullet points with more understanding than other doctors, but still with very little understanding. And I've just got to get very clear on my own value using the techniques that I've learned here and elsewhere that are so different to the usual thing. So my plan is, as Rita Marie suggested, to create a it's basically doing the menopause success system again, but over a 90-week menopause transformation, really.
90 days.
12 weeks, 90 days. So basically alternate weeks will either be the course content or a Q&A. And some of them will choose to go with the group Q&A and some of them will choose to go with the one-to-one Q&A. And this is similar to something that Rita Marie did when she was starting out. It's also similar to something I tried to sell when I was doing my first set of strategy sessions last summer. But then it was priced a lot higher, sort of 3,000, and people just don't get it. So I've just got to get my head around the value. And I do see it because these things take so long. When you're doing personalized healthcare and you're doing personalized lab results and recommendations, and there's so much more. At the end of the day, people think that they want just to see me in outpatients and walk away with a prescription. But what they actually want is the transformation that they can create by fully getting to the root cause of their problems and really understanding it. I'm sorry to be rambling. What I have to do at the moment is to create a script for my VA to ring, my PA to ring the most promising people from my list and book them into sessions. I spent some time sorting. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Diane. I spent some time putting in appointments because my PA doesn't seem to be able to put appointments into my system. And I've got people who I've seen who want a 3 month later appointment, and I haven't booked those clinics yet. So there's, but I really think the way to go is this that Rita Marie suggested, because if people have been on this and are doing their own stuff, they will really understand. They get so much symptomatic improvement without bioidentical hormones this way, and then they're not dependent on doctors. And then one of the calls will be an added one that I haven't got in the system already, the benefits of bioidentical hormones. So then near the end, if I have that, then they can choose whether they want to work with me or not on the menopause thing. And then as I've got so many people with thyroid issues who are looking for answers, I'm going to be doing a thyroid one as well, in parallel actually, because a lot of the content will be similar. And it's just that I've had so many people for 2 years. I think if I started going to the Love Natural Love Organic show, the people who've been coming to it have been people with thyroid issues more than anything. And yes, there have been people with adrenal fatigue, but they don't prioritize that as much because they don't see it as being a priority. It's only when we start going deep that we realize how close people are sailing to the wind in terms of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia with the adrenal fatigue. Imagine not being able to use fatigue.
Oh my.
Or inflammation.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. Dysfunction for adrenal, because there's some like, it's not always fatigue. They're hyper, and really we're not doing a good job of selling our credibility if we talk about adrenal fatigue when somebody's in a stage one, which was really not adrenal fatigue. It's adrenal hyperstimulation. So we can use the word dysfunction or, yeah. You know.
But the thing is that it annoys me when people there was somebody commenting in one of your, I don't know whether it was one of your Facebook groups or one of your sessions, somebody was commenting that you shouldn't call it adrenal fatigue, you should, you know, it's not accurate enough. Well, but the thing is, the general public needs to have things that they can relate to.
Exactly.
This is the problem with calling it adrenal insufficiency or dysfunction. If you say adrenal fatigue, people say, oh, aren't the adrenals something about about stress, and well, I'm really fatigued, so that must be me. They can recognize themselves in the phrase.
Exactly. That all came from Chris Kresser, who started to write about, you know, how he's moving to the Dutch test away from the other test because, and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote a lot about that. So people read Chris Kresser and go, oh yeah, you know, anyway, that's where it originated. He started, he did it on the Functional Medicine Forum. So a lot of people heard him. And they started to jump on that
bandwagon. Yeah. Well, and I realized that when I did my launch with you last year, very much I was following the final scripts too closely, and I was sort of blocking the intuition, and because unless I've got time and I'm getting enough sleep, then I can't let the intuition come into my writing. And so the email series and the webinar were just too salesy. They were like sort of mail marketing stuff, in your face stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. The funnel scripts is great, except you have to tone it down.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, Russell Brunson is pretty salesy. He's not.
He is. Salesy. Yeah, and I've got a series of emails I created for the free ebook that I wrote that the people were signing up for in July, but I haven't sent them out yet because I've got to look at them again because they're too salesy again.
Okay.
And then I keep delaying. You know, done is better than perfect, but there again, I don't think that done that way, where it puts people off that would otherwise be coming to me,
right,
is better than perfect.
And again, with medical, somebody was saying, I was on a coaching call with a generic group of, you know, they're more holistic minded, but they're not all health professionals. And she was saying she teaches health practitioners some marketing, you know, practice building it for their own private practices. And she said, you know, you can use these words like double your income or, you know, the financial type words. And as soon as you start using those words in her space, she's acupuncturist is her target market, should you lose them? Because they think, well, we're not allowed to do that. We're not supposed to do that, right? So it's really a matter of people who are used to NHS stuff, right? They need, they're in a different plane than the people that we typically would see. So anyway.
Yeah. And the English approach, as Lisa said before, is very, very much toned down compared to the American. Thank you very much for letting me say that and for letting me let the tears flow afterwards. That was very, very therapeutic.
Oh, I'm glad that you did. And I really want to see that moving forward. We all have to go through that. I'm going to give you guys a link. I'm going to give you a link you might want to use in your presentation. It's just a slide that I'm going to use in my presentation tonight. I just did it on screencast. But it's just that hierarchy, because when you talk about, and then we'll talk about the bioidenticals, it shows the hierarchy of interventions to get the hormones balanced. And the bioidenticals are at the bottom. The top is all the stuff that we typically do. So I just put it in there and you can take a look at that and use whatever you want from it.
Brilliant. Thank you.
That's where the education comes in, right? Your people are so used to healthcare doesn't cost anything. You just show up and you're in with the doctor for 10 minutes and they give you a cure, right? And so you're going after the people who it doesn't work for, who want more, who are more educated, and know that and keep that in mind. And so you just have to educate them as to your process. So do we want to go around and just everybody share, one thing that they're going to follow up with or one thing that they learned from, somebody else's share that was inspiring? And
I just want to thank everybody for their support today and the intuition things through Zoom that literally picked up that I was in a bad state was pretty incredible because I didn't look it particularly.
So, yeah, you were well like, done, no, yeah. I'm fine. They're like, no, you're not.
Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Who else? Lisa, Deb, Diane?
I'm really glad we got to take a little time discussing the whole scope of practice regarding labs and all that stuff. That was very helpful for me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad to see everybody. I miss Steph, but it was just good to see an almost full call.
Nothing to do with you. She hasn't responded to any of my texts. Oh, there we go. I'm sorry. I'm having a septic. She just did a septic tank incident. And the man just got here to clean and hopefully not repair it. And it will be there as soon as I can. So apparently, yeeks. Lisa?
Yeah, thanks for the discussion. And I guess it's nice to be able to have a safe space, where we can discuss this thing. That's what I value the most.
Yeah, it's great. Great. Jane?
Sorry, I'm late and been missing for a while, but hopefully I'll get back on track here. I feel the need to get, I'm motivated to get back on track, that's for sure.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And is Paul feeling better? I saw you posted that he was sick, he had pneumonia or something, right? Or
his cough is kind of coming back a little bit, so we're kind of watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the doctor, the ER doc, gave us a nebulizer.
ooh, there's all
kinds of
stuff you can do with that.
So we've been doing stuff with that. If you have any suggestions on what to put in it.
I know for kids with asthma, magnesium has been found to be phenomenal. I know there's some docs in Arizona that actually one of them teaches at the school out in Arizona, the naturopathic school, and he used licorice and NAC in the nebulizer to really calm down the inflammation. And he actually was able to reverse somebody's lung cancer with that. Now he can't say that, in public, like I can do this, right? But I just heard his talk and it was a case study at an herbal conference. And this was an older woman and no sign of the lung cancer I don't know the specifics of it, but I know it was NAC and licorice root. But anything that you want to get deep into the lungs, right? Because systemically, it's hard to get things into the deep recesses of the lungs. So mm-hmm. You can get any kind of things that are anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial. I know people who've used like silver and some antiviral kind of herbs in there for viral kind of things. Or it was also
We're using silver and breathe from doTERRA.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
And a friend of mine who had lung cancer, she gave me a list of stuff too. She's cleared her lung cancer.
There you go. So it's definitely doable. We can't call it the cancer cure, but we can say it. Okay. I'm going to go on to my vital call, but thank you everybody.
Thank you.
Stuff. Just
thank you.
Keep believing in yourself and the mission, even though it gets hard sometimes.
Bye guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.